the great Mel Blunt. We were talking earlier. Mel was a guest on my show on Wednesday, and we talked about the induction ceremony. And Mel, just to revisit that just for a moment, guys like you who have been in Canton and been enshrined many years now, there were so many great players, not just from the 70s, but great players from the 90s and, you know, guys in between. You know, guys like Louis Lips, who played in the 80s, was a great player. And now there will be a place for guys like that.
Well, you know, Stan, I'm so excited, not just for myself, but for guys like you just talked about. It's just so many great players that have come through this organization. And the Steelers, when you think about, like when I came in 1970, they were really the doormat of the National Football League. And here we are now, the only team that's won 6 Super Bowls. And so for that to have happened, we had to have great players. Great players, great people. And so this Hall of Honor is a place for those kind of guys. And it's unfortunate, a lot of great guys, great players won't make it to Canton, but here is a place where their name will live forever, and the contributions that they've made and their families. I mean, this is just a great thing that they've started, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
You know, the amazing thing is we're sitting here, he's got no hat on. We finally got him to take that cowboy hat off here.
I said you could have played in the NFL with your hat on. You didn't even need a helmet.
Hey, but only you guys, only for you guys.
Now, Mel, I know what it's like to be around when the guys get back together, but how significant is it when you see some of those images, names, people on the wall that are going to be here or represented by other family members? Like, for instance, I think about Pam Webster being here.
Right.
And I think, you know, I mean, it almost brings tears to my eyes just to be able to know that I'm going to see her and what it brings back to just, I don't know, bonding. The bonding experience has got to be so powerful for you guys.
Well, it is, and that's the great thing about this. You know, some of these guys, you haven't seen them for years, right. And when you do see it, it's like glue. You just connect, and you mentioned the Webster family. I had a chance to befriend the Stoutner family, Ernie Stoutner family in Canton, Ohio, and so they were flying in. I got a text from them a day or so ago that they would be in. So it's those kind of connections, and it's that kind of relationship that you have with people who've been a part of this organization.
Mel, you mentioned something to me last week that's something we don't think about. Guys come here, they're in their early 20s, and like any other person in their early 20s, no matter what endeavor of life they happen to be in, they get married, they have families, and you get to know their spouses and their children as well.
Well, Stan, that's the thing about it is that it really is a family, because we came here as kids, really, right out of college, and we grew together. We went through the good times, the bad times, the ups and downs, and so there's a lot of history that we have with each other. This is like this guy here, Craig Woofley, and every time I hear him in touch on Sundays, you know, it's such a good feeling, because, you know, we know that we've been a part of each other's life and a part of each other's journey. And so it's special, and it's hard, you know, it's hard for people to understand unless you've been in it and done it and been through the fire and everything with these guys. It's hard to understand, but it is a special relationship and a special feeling and a special event tonight. I mean, we'll see people. I just saw the guy who scouted me out of college, Art Rooney.
Art Rooney.
Yeah, to see him walk in. And
Marianne Knoll is here.
Yeah, Marianne. So you see people that, you know, have been a part of your life and been a part of your journey, and it's just good to get back and fellowship with them.
All right, now this is a question you got to ask. What's it feel like to be so good that the NFL's got to change the rules for you? I mean, I'd never known anything like that in my life. And you got to sit there and go, wait a minute, you're just going to do this?
They changed the rules for holding, Wolf, in your honor.
Yeah, probably from 15 to 10, because the kids hold so much, you're going to get them thrown off the team. No, seriously. I mean, the fact that they changed the rules is just like, it's mind-blowing to me.
You know, when it happened, I'll never forget when they – 1977, when the league changed the rule, Chuck Noll had all the defensive backs to fly in. And I don't know, Wolf, if you remember the slide and glide when they tried to change the techniques of how we would backpedal and do all this. And I remember Chuck said, Mel, they did this because of you. But it didn't dawn on me. But the older I get, I think it's pretty cool, you know.
It's got to be, man.
And actually, the one thing that we talked about a little bit earlier, in sort of a reverse kind of manner, because of the rules that they instituted against defensive backs, that opened up the offense for Bradshaw, because Chuck said, look at what I have now, and I'll take advantage of that. If you want to penalize my defense, I'll make you pay for it. And he did.
You know what? It was just an incredible thing, because Bradshaw and Swan and that whole and Starworth and the Rocky and Frank, they went off, and we start scoring, and it was a beautiful thing. But, you know, it just goes to show you that, and we always said, and not only did they change the rules in the secondary, they changed the head slap because of LC and Joe and all those guys. And so,
thank goodness.
But Paul Brown, yeah, you offensive lineman.
Yeah, yeah.
But Paul Brown was on the competition committee. And I'll never forget the hit after it was a Monday night game, and Trumpy.
You hit Trumpy and broke his nose.
And so that's when they changed the rules after that. And so Paul Brown, you know, being on the committee, and he's competing against us twice a year. And so it was a way for him to legislate the game to benefit them, because they didn't have the athletes. Bottom line, they didn't have the players that we had. We were stacked at every position. And so, you know, these owners, they're partners, but they also like to compete too.
Any edge they can possibly get.
Yeah.
Mel, enjoy the evening. It's always great to visit with you. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks, guys. Good
always
to be with you.
Always powerful to see you,
We've
brother.
Got it.